Let's now turn to our Bibles, again to our second reading from the New Testament, which will be reading verse 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added about 3,000 souls. They were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have come to the climax of this worship service. We pray that you speak to us through your word. Use me and my brothers as vessels to speak to your people. And Lord, let your word go forth with power and authority. Help us to understand it, meditate upon it, and put it in practice. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are breaking again shortly from our series, the Book of Acts. Just for today, and because of what you have witnessed, the bringing in of the new members. So I desire to dedicate this sermon to the new members, but even to the old members as well, and even to the rest who are not members. Because it's very important to understand this commitment which they have committed themselves today, and even for those of you who did it some time back. And even you who prepare yourself to do the same, it's very important to understand it. So joining membership of a local church is very essential to the health of a Christian. And it's sad that so many Christians neglect this very important responsibility. Some claim that they do not need to join the membership of a local church because they are already members of the universal church. But such a claim is not consistent with what we see, especially in the New Testament. And some think that they are already members of a local church since they attend it on a regular basis. But that's not true. But there is need for you to formally join the membership of a local church. The way we see our brothers have done today. This call to join the membership, we see it in the scripture which is before us today. And we see it laid out in many passages in the New Testament. The language which is used there shows that church membership was practiced in the early church. And church membership is a commitment, a lifetime commitment to the cause of Christ. That's why we're going to consider this passage before us under the title, what it means for you to be a committed church member. And we shall consider this text under three headings. We shall first see that being a committed church member starts with you joining the membership of the local church. But we shall also see that being a committed church member means that together with other saints, you constantly partake in the means of grace. And we shall finally see that to be a committed church member involves you utilizing every opportunity to serve fellow saints. First then, let's see that being a committed church member starts with you joining the membership of a local church. In verse 41, we read this, "So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. This was on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter preached the gospel to all the multitudes who had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And the Lord was pleased to save many people who heard him. That's why we read in this verse that those who received the word, meaning those who were convicted of their sins and repented and believed the gospel. And these were the very people who were baptized and joined the membership of the church. Because the initial number of people was around 120 disciples. And we see that more 3,000 saints are added to that initial number. So clearly this gives us a pattern of what should be followed even today. That's that there is a need for a Christian, when one becomes a Christian, to seek to join the membership of a local church. And although we don't see the word church membership as it is in the Bible, but it's very clear from the New Testament that church membership was practiced. The terms which are used to describe a church, like the household of God, which essentially refers to a family, and words like brethren, which are used to describe the saints of Christ. All this show that the church was together as a family, and there was need for one to commit himself or herself to that family of Christ. So once one became a Christian and were baptized, they needed to join the membership of the local church. And so we see that the only two requirements for you to join the membership of a local church is, first of all, becoming a Christian, being saved, and then being baptized. And so becoming a member is not becoming a Christian. Membership does not make you a Christian, but it is formally recognizing you as a Christian. As one who is part of the universal church of Christ. Therefore, joining membership of a local church is not optional for you. It is an obligation. It is a command which you should adhere to. And it's good that many of you in this church have obeyed that obligation and have joined the membership of the local church. We thank the Lord for those who have joined the membership of the local church today. But I appeal to you who are Christians and have not joined the membership of the local church to think of joining at the earliest opportunity. I hope there's none here who says I can't join the local church because I'm already part of the universal church. If you're there, I plead with you to abandon such an idea and think of joining a membership of the local church as early as you can. Those of you who are not yet Christians, the call to you now is not to join the membership of the local church. But that you seek continuously that God saves you from your sins and makes you part of the universal church of Christ first. And after then, you can now seek the membership of the local church. May you heed the words, like the words we see Peter telling these people who became Christians, when he told everyone, save yourselves from this crooked generation. May you seek the mercy of God again and again to be sure that you have been saved, so that you leave the company of the world and join the members of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. Because the church is a very important institution for you. It is like an embassy of a foreign nation in a local nation. So it is the embassy of the kingdom of God here in this foreign land for those of you who are Christians. So it is needed for you to be part of it so that you'll be helped in this pilgrimage walk to your homeland, which is heaven. So how important for you to think and of committing yourself to the membership of a local church. So then you see that the first step to being a committed member of a local church is that you join the membership of the local church. There were these 3,000 people, converted Christians, joined the membership of the church at Jerusalem then. And after joining them, to be responsibility to fulfill the commitment which will be expressed in so many other responsibilities. The way the early church did it again. This brings me to the second point. Is being a committed church member means that together with other saints you constantly partake of the means of grace. This is what we read in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. So means of grace are ways by which our faith is strengthened, and that's we're enabled to grow spiritually. And to be devoted as they did here means that direct your attention chiefly to something or firmly adhere to something. And in this verse we see how these members of this local church at Jerusalem understood the importance of this means of grace. And how they wholeheartedly availed themselves so that they could benefit from them. The apostles' teaching here means the truths of God's word which the apostles were preaching to them. Which were inspired by God and which they heard from their Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same teachings which we have in our Bibles today. And so this early Christian desire to grow in the knowledge of God's word and they avail themselves to hear the apostles preach this word to them. Fellowship here means having things in common or participation in the same things. And in this verse means they were together and they would participate together in this means of grace. And to seek to stir up one another to love and to good works. Also, they were together, they shared their sorrows, their joys, their hope, and challenges. The breaking of bread was used to mean either eating food together or the Lord's Supper. But I believe in this verse where we see it mentioned along with other means of grace, I believe it refers to the Lord's table. So I believe they were together and they would have the Lord's table together. Of course, the other means of grace which they devoted themselves to was prayers. This should have included both private prayers and corporate prayers together as they met in the temple day by day. And likewise, for you to be a committed church member, you should constantly, with fellow saints, devote yourselves to this means of grace. Because these are elements which are very essential for your discipleship as a Christian. And if you neglect them, your spiritual growth will be hindered. Therefore, it means that you need to take the responsibility of being present at all the church gatherings. Not only Sunday worships, but even other days when the church meets together. Like Fridays, where the church meets together for Bible study and corporate prayer. So that together with the saints of Christ, you partake of this very important element of your discipleship. Sadly, many of you are just on the Sunday goers. The other meetings of the church, you neglect them. And yet the other meetings of the church are also very important for you as you come together with your fellow saints to engage in this very important means of grace. And some have even Make it a habit of absenting yourselves even on Sunday worships without even communicating. And of course, by acting like that, you are acting as if you are not part of this family of Christ. It's the families, the physical families, they are always together. And if a member of the family is moving away, he lets the others know where they're going. And this should be the same with you if you are part of this local family of Christ. You should take your commitment seriously. As you vow, those of you who have vowed today, take those vows seriously. For the good of your fellow saints, but for the glory of God. So together with fellow saints, as you sit under the preaching of God's word, should seek to understand it, meditate upon it, and put it always in practice. Of course, this should go alongside with your personal Bible study. Yes, it is okay for you to listen to other preachers, maybe on the internet. But that should not make you neglect the practice of coming on a regular basis to sit under the preaching of God's word. Because when you come regularly like you have done today, you have the privilege of discussing the sermon with your fellow brethren after the worship service, or even asking the preacher to clarify what was not clear during the preaching. So we should not neglect this very important means of grace, which is very beneficial for your spiritual growth. And as you fellowship with your fellow brethren, it should be an opportunity to edify one another. To get to know their struggles and their needs and pray for them. It should be time to stir up one another to love and to good deeds. But I wonder whether you care to use such times of fellowship for the mutual good of you and your fellow brethren. Because I know that some of you rush out the moment the service ends, you rush out and miss this time of fellowship together. Of course, if you have a genuine reason and an emergency to attend to, it is okay. But otherwise, you should use this time to know each other more, to give godly counsel to each other. And to seek to see how to pray more for each other. I believe this is what the early church was doing whenever they would come together and have fellowship with each other. Because as I say, the church is compared to the family. And one of the marks of a family is that they spend a good deal of time together. And sure, it should be the same with you, the local church of Christ, even in this locality. And one of the good practices which ensure that this is carried out is the home cell groups. These home cell groups provide an ideal environment to carry out the fellowship and even to engage in other means of grace. And they also reinforce what the church is all about. They also, so hence they serve well for discipleship and remind members of their commitments. And as a church, we are looking forward to that. We are planning to start those home cell groups. And I encourage all of you to devote yourselves to such home cell groups so that they will be very beneficial to your spiritual health. The Lord's Supper is also a very important means of grace, which should not be neglected. The early church took it seriously. That's why we see that whenever they would meet, they would participate in it. In partaking of the Lord's table, we are reminded of what our Lord did for us by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So that we are forgiven and reconciled to God our Father. And hence, through this, our faith is strengthened. And even our assurance increases. So you should not neglect being part of the Lord's table, and you should come to it with such understanding that it's a remembrance of what Christ did for you. And another very important means of grace which we see is prayer. And both private and corporate prayer. It is very important that you take this prayer seriously, both private and corporate. I know many of you are struggling, especially with private prayer. But I encourage you to take it as a discipline and seek the help of the Holy Spirit to regularly, on a daily basis, engage yourself in this practice of private prayer. But corporate prayer is one of those means of grace which are so neglected today, even in this church. It seems people have not understood the importance of corporate prayer. Yet it's very beneficial when you meet to pray with your fellow brethren. You hear and listen to their prayer requests so that you can be praying for them at your home. But it's also an opportunity to learn how to pray as you listen to your fellow brethren pray. And it's also very edifying as you listen to your brethren pray prayers biblically. So I plead with you to take corporate prayer seriously as a church. Yes, we have corporate prayer session on Friday and even on Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10. You should take this too seriously. Especially on Sunday, wake up early and purpose to come and arrive here at 9:30 so that you engage in corporate prayer with your fellow saints. This will be very helpful for your spiritual growth and edification. So as a church member, are you showing your commitments as shown here? Are you taking seriously this means of grace which the Lord has provided for you? You seek the help of the Holy Spirit that you take this means of grace seriously for your spiritual growth. Thirdly and lastly, we said to be committed, to be a committed church member involves utilizing every opportunity to serve fellow saints. From verse 44 onwards, we see how these believers utilize every opportunity to serve their fellow believers. We see, for example, that in verse 44, that and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And first, being together here means they could be in the same place together many times. But it also refers to the unity which was among them, which was made possible by love, which is the bond of unity. And because they were together, they were able to know each other's need. Because although having things here in common seems to show that they owned property communally, so that no one owned property individually. But I think verse 45 sheds light on that and shows that what it means to have all things in common was that they ensure that those who are in need were provided for so that no one lacked and each and everyone had their needs provided for. Because it is clear that the things they had were their own, they were not communally owned, and even we read that their possessions and belongings showing that they were their own. And even in chapter 4, about Ananias and when they sold their land, Peter tells them, before you sold it, it was yours, it belonged to you. Sorry, it is chapter 5. We see that in chapter 5. Yeah, so showing that they owned property, but they understood that the things were blessed to them by God, so they be a blessing to others. And hence they use whatever they are having to serve others, to meet their needs. To ensure that no one lacked. Also, being together in the temple was a time of fellowship again. Also a time to come together and preach the gospel to those who were unconverted among them. But we see further that they were in homes, they could visit each other and share meals together. Continues emphasizing that they were together as a committed family of Christ. They understood that they were pilgrims who were on the same journey to heaven. So they understood that they needed each other's companionship, they needed each other's help. It sounds like people who are moving together to some destination. Yes, they will easily become friends of each other and be good companions of each other and even share whatever they have. So even you, to, as a committed church member, you should seek to utilize every opportunity you have to serve the Christians, the fellow Christians among you. As you are part of the church, you should seek to use your gifts. You should be part of the ministries in the church. And even use your possessions to meet the needs of your fellow brethren. Because you should not do like what they did here, that you go and sell whatever you have and bring to the pastors, for example. Since that was needed then in that particular situation. But a timeless principle which we see in this is that we should ensure that those who are needy among us are helped and their needs are supplied. And we see that that continued throughout the period of the church. As you fellowship with your brethren, get to know their needs. And if you are able, meet them. As the Lord enables you. As a church, for example, we have the mercy ministry. And I encourage you all to be putting there something on a regular basis so that it will be used to serve the needs of your brethren who are in need. But you can even choose on your own to give something. Can choose to remain anonymous by giving the need, supplying the need of your fellow brethren through some other member of the church. But seek to supply the needs of your fellow members as a display of love to them. Because if you are not caring about the needs of your fellow brethren, you are failing to display your love practically as we were commanded. See what John writes, for example, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And even from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, your fellow brethren should be more dear to you, even your blood relatives. Yes, you should seek to supply the needs of your relatives.
But according to the Bible, the priority should go to those of the household of faith. Are you doing that? Do you care for the needs of the brethren? So that you always pray for them and seek to meet the need whenever you are able. Again, I urge you to be concerned about the needs of your fellow brethren. And do not hesitate to meet them whenever you are able. Pray that the Lord will help you to abound in love. More and more, and display this love practically to your brothers and sisters. Can we also see that this early church was, they were involved in the lives of each other on a day-to-day basis. They would visit each other, host each other, share meals together. And it's something you as a church should also be doing. Whenever you are able and have opportunity. I'm thankful our hospitality ministry is planning to organize an activity which will encourage the church members towards that. But as a family, let's people see that you love one another, that you are committed to one another as a family of Christ. That you are seeking to use every opportunity you have to serve one another. So that you fulfill the vows which you make when you are joining the membership of the local church. The vows which the same like our brethren have made today. When they say, for example, that I vow to keep the unity of the church. I vow to serve in the ministries of my church and support the testimony of my church. So may the Lord help each one of us that will take seriously this commitment of being part of the local church. So that you serve one another and seek to grow together and even together seek to reach out to the unlost and proclaim Christ to them. Of course, for those of you who are still in your sins, this is not possible. This commitment is not possible for you yet. And what is needed of you now is that you seek salvation. You cry to God to save you. So that after you've been saved, you also seek to be added to the membership of the local church. May the Lord help us that this commitment will be taken seriously on a daily basis. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us and reminding us about the life commitment of being a church member. Help that each one of us will take this seriously. Have mercy upon those who are still in their sins. Save them, O Lord, and help them also to commit themselves to this noble cause. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.